Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Pastor Tim with Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas. Thanks for joining us. It's Wednesday, May 8th, and it's time for your midweek Bible study. Today, we conclude our study in the book of Hebrews, so we'll be studying Hebrews 13, verses 13 through 25. We're going to finish up what the writer's concluding words are, and I'll tell you more in a moment, but right now, join me in an opening word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this has been an incredible journey through this wonderful book of Hebrews. Lord, I know we're going to finish strong today because every time we read your word, you always finish strong. So Lord, help us to comprehend these last remarks from the writer in this incredible book. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Last time the writer began this last chapter with three commands in the first three verses. They were to keep on loving each other, show hospitality to strangers, and remember those in prison and those who are mistreated. Then he presented a series of exhortations that included some social, private, and religious exhortations covering such topics as honoring marriage, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have, the Lord is our helper, remember the leaders who taught us the word, and don't be attracted to strange new things, and there were others as well. Today, the writer concludes with more exhortations, including encouraging the readers to make a final break with Judaism. Let's get to it. Open up your Bible or Bible app to Hebrews chapter 13, starting with verse 13, and let's begin. Verse 13 reads, "So let us go to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore." First question, when Christians suffer for the cause of Christ, what does the writer say happens to them? He said they go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. Here's what I think it means. The original readers might experience disgrace because they seem to be abandoning their Jewish roots, but they could not cling to their roots and still worship at the cross of Christ. The ridicule and persecution came from Jews who didn't believe in Jesus the Messiah. Most of the book of Hebrews explains how Christ is greater than the sacrificial system of the Old Covenant. Here's the practical implication of this lengthy argument. It's that it may be necessary to leave the camp to suffer with Christ. They needed to move outside the same confinement of their past, their traditions, and their ceremonies in order to live for Christ. Verse 14 is next. For this world is not our permanent home. We're looking forward to a home yet to come. Amen to that verse. Here's the question. According to this verse, what is the reason given for joining the suffering of Christ? I think it's that this world is not our permanent home. It's as simple as that. This is more than a passing point. It provides a key New Testament theme on our true citizenship. We shouldn't be so attracted to our worldly possessions that we forget to obey Christ. Life on earth is temporary. It would not be appropriate for Christians to grow too comfortable here. Jobs, money, homes, hobbies should not become the most important part of our lives. Instead, Christians should be like the heroes of faith that we discussed in chapter 11 and spend their lives looking forward to the home yet to come. We should not be content or attached to this world because all that we are and all that we have here is just temporary. Instead, we should be eagerly expecting the coming kingdom. Only our relationship with God and our service to him is going to last. We shouldn't store our treasures here. We should store them in heaven. Next, verse 15. Therefore, let us offer through Christ a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. The question is, the need for blood sacrifices ended with Jesus' death on the cross, but Christians do have a sacrifice that they can bring continually. What is it, according to the writer in this verse? It's called a continual sacrifice of praise. One of my favorite praise songs of all time is an older one that's called We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise. We still sing it at church today because it's so appropriate and it's right out of this verse. God wants us to offer ourselves, not animals, as living sacrifices, daily laying aside our own desires so that we can follow him. And we do this out of gratitude that our sins have been forgiven. We do this with Jesus' help because he alone makes our sacrifices acceptable. By continually offering this sacrifice of praise, we proclaim our allegiance to his name, thereby showing that we are loyal to him. Because of their belief in Jesus as the Messiah, these Jewish Christians no longer worshiped with other Jews. They could consider praise and acts of service their sacrifices. These were sacrifices that they could offer continually, anywhere, anytime. Verse 16 is next. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Question, what's another sacrifice that pleases God according to this verse? It involves service to others. Acts of kindness and sharing our resources are very pleasing to God, even when they go unnoticed by mankind. During times of persecution, Christians depend on one another. Doing good and a willingness to share with those in need, it strikes a blow at the self-centeredness of our times. Believers experience fellowship with other believers when they make their resources available to those in need. Here's verse 17. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they're accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Here's the question. What responsibility do church members have according to this verse? Church members have the responsibility to obey their spiritual leaders. This verse refers to present leaders in various congregations, not the ones who had died as we talked about in verse 7 last week. Wise and God-honoring leaders watch over the church and have the best in mind for their followers. These leaders are concerned for the deepest needs of those in their fellowship. These leaders also take on a great responsibility to watch over the souls of those in their congregation. They are accountable to God. Because of the seriousness of this responsibility, cooperative followers can greatly ease the burden of leadership. Too many believers create problems and tension for their leaders through endless complaints and interpersonal conflicts. How welcome would cheerfulness, helpfulness, and loyalty be to your leaders? Next is verses 18 and 19. Pray for us, for our conscience is clear and we want to live honorably in everything we do. And especially pray that I'll be able to come back to you soon. The question is, these verses present a request for prayer from the writer. What is it? Apparently, the writer of this letter, like the readers, had come face to face with persecution. The writer says he and his companions had done no wrong. Our conscience is clear, he said. But he requests prayer in order to continue to live honorably. Because of this purity before God and purity of motivation, the writer could freely request prayer from fellow believers. In fact, he depended upon it. This offers a little clue that the writer of Hebrews may have been a former leader in the church who was traveling in another area. This leader requested prayer to come back to the reader soon. We don't know what prevented the reader from returning, but it was apparently pretty significant. Whatever the problem was, though, the writer depended on the support of the church by asking for their prayers. Sounds an awful lot like the Apostle Paul in his writings. He was always asking for prayer, and especially in the Corinthian letters, that our conscience is clear. I remember that distinctly. Verses 20 and 21 are next. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. The question is, these verses begin the formal close to the letter. How does it describe God in these verses? It describes God as the God of peace. This characteristic of God may have been included to promote harmony and to heal the disunity among the readers. Perhaps the writer wanted to encourage those whose faith was wavering due to persecution or to stress the peace between people and God that Jesus established through the cross. Such peace should carry over among God's people. It said God brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus. That fact proves that Jesus was an effective sacrifice and high priest and is superior to anyone or anything in the Old Covenant. In fact, without the resurrection, there'd be no new covenant. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the central fact of Christian history. Called here the great shepherd of the sheep, Christ laid down his life for the sheep. The new and eternal covenant had been signed with his blood. And lastly, this closing prayer, it contains two requests. Can you see what they are? What are they? First is that God would equip the believers with all that they need for doing his will. Second, that God would produce in them, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. They had begun to do works that accompanied their salvation, but now they needed to mature in this area, so the writer prays for God to perfect them. These verses, which are borrowed in part from Isaiah 61 verses 10 through 14 and Zechariah 11 4, include two significant results of Christ's death and resurrection. Number one, God works in us to make us the kind of people who will please him, and number two, God equips us to do the kind of work that'll please him. Let God change you from within and then use you to help others. Verse 22 is up. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to pay attention to what I've written in this brief exhortation. Question, what is the writer encouraging the believers to do here? He's encouraging them to understand Christ's role as priest and to understand the new covenant is superior to the old one. These important words could make a difference between their holding on to Christ or running away, the difference literally between eternal life and eternal death. So the writer urged his readers to pay attention and listen carefully. Let's go to verse 23. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released from jail. If he comes here soon, I will bring him with me to see you. The question is, the writer continues and offers encouragement regarding Timothy. What does he say here? He says that Timothy would be released from jail and that he would possibly be coming to see them soon. Other than this statement, the New Testament does not record Timothy's imprisonment. He might have been imprisoned in Rome or Ephesus, and I believe this is the same Timothy who was Paul's disciple and whom Paul wrote two letters in the New Testament. We do know that Timothy traveled the Roman Empire with Paul, serving as his assistant and sometimes as his emissary. Timothy's name is included as co-sender of many of Paul's letters to the churches, and Timothy became an important leader in the early church, continuing the ministry of the word after Paul's death. Apparently, he too was put in jail at one point in time and then released. The writer definitely knew Timothy, and if Timothy arrived in time, he said he would bring him with him. And now, beloved, we finish up Hebrews with verses 24 and 25. Here we go. Greet all your leaders and all believers there. The believers from Italy send their greetings. May God's grace be with you all. Now, these verses close out this amazing letter to the Jewish Christians. And rather than just ask you a question, I have a couple of thoughts I'd like to share, if you please. Most New Testament letters end with greetings from the writer to others in the church and from the Christians in one locality to the Christians receiving the letter. So this letter offers greetings from the writer to the leaders of all the believers. At the time of this letter, most churches still met in people's homes. These house churches, situated in different localities, needed to be encouraged about their unity with all other believers. The call to greet all the leaders and all God's people underscored the importance of unity. The writer, in turn, sent greetings from the believers in Italy. A final benediction ends this letter. May God's grace be with you all. You know, ending with grace, it's really appropriate, and it's such a great way to close this out. God's approval could not be won through ceremonies or through following the old covenant. Instead, it's God's grace that comes through in the new covenant. Beloved ones, this brings us to the end of our journey through the book of Hebrews, and what an awesome journey it was. We started on January 3rd, and then here we are 18 weeks later. Incredible. Let me summarize for you what this journey has been about. Hebrews is a call to Christian maturity. It was addressed to the first century Jewish Christians, but it applies to Christians of any age or background. Christian maturity includes making Christ the beginning and the end of our faith. To grow in maturity, we've got to center our lives on Him, not depending on religious ritual, not falling back into sin, not trusting in ourselves, and not letting anything come between us and Christ. Christ is sufficient and superior. Now, we will not be meeting next week, May 15th, so enjoy some midweek time with your family and loved ones, but we'll be back the following week, May 22nd, with a brand new study. We're going to study the 12 minor prophets, Hosea through Malachi, 12 timeless voices. Thanks again for being with us. It's always an honor to be with you. Have a great rest of your day and week. We'll see you right back here in 2 weeks. Until then, God bless you. Go in peace. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for another encouraging message from God's Word. To find out more about our ministry, look us up on the web at www.whccnb.org. Word of Hope Christian Church, real people, a real God, real hope.